Digital 410 Productions proudly presents What's the Scuttlebutt Podcast with your host, Don Abernathy.
Hey everybody, Don Abernathy here. Before we start the show, I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us through 2018 and supporting the show. I'm excited to see where 2019 takes us. Hopefully by March we will have a public podcast studio so I can start having more people in. For the last year I've been recording this out of my house. And so it's a little hard to get people in and out of the studio when other people are here because, you know, it interferes with everyone's lives. But thank you so much for everybody hanging out with us this year. For the final episode, I wanted to do something a little special. A while back, a listener of the show, Jerry Oxley, told me, hey, I've listened to the interviews you've done with vets and the people who lived during the war multiple times. But for the life of me, there's one interview I cannot make it through because the sound quality is so bad. And I kind of understood that when I posted it, but, you know, it was one of the first interviews I did, and not only that, I did the interview at a beautiful home of a friend of ours, and as a lot of beautiful homes are, it's all marble, big cathedral ceilings, open spaces, which means echo, echo, echo. So a few days ago, I took the original podcast, I cut out all the nonsense, narrowed it down to strictly the interview, because originally the interview was spread over two episodes, so I've taken the interview and I've condensed it down to a single episode, and that is with Fritz Lennenbach. He was 5 or 6 years old when the war came to his town. He tells a great story about how Nazi rule changed everything in Germany, how the parents, you know, had to be careful what they said around children because children didn't know any better and would go inadvertently, you know, drop the dime on them, quote unquote, and possibly get them in trouble with the government. And he tells a story about when the Allies came and fought the Germans in front of his town, and he gets real emotional during that time. So this is a great interview. I think it's probably 75% better. I ran it through the system, I adjusted the levels, and all that good stuff. So Jerry, this one's for you. Thanks everybody so much for the support this year. If you want to continue to support the show, I did put up a new shirt. We have the new What's the Scuttlebutt with USMC camouflage cover M1 helmet, and a while back we also did the airborne helmet, and I'm working on some new shirts coming up in 2019. But anyhow, thank you all so much. You can find those shirts at whatsthescuttlebutt.com. That's Scuttlebutt with D's instead of T's because scuttlebutt.com with the T's was already taken. If for some reason you can't find that, simply go to d-410.com. You can find it there. And if you didn't know, for some reason, you know, if you've been downloading each episode onto your phone directly from the website, you can subscribe and have them downloaded or streamed live via iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as Google Music. So those are easier ways to find the show. Anyhow, enough of that. Let's get on with the interview. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all in 2019. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast. I am happy to have our second interview with Mr. Fritz Lennenbach. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Appreciate your time. Let's go back to the beginning. What town were you born in?
I've been born in Neckarhausen, which is a small town close to the big industrial city of Mannheim.
What year were you born?
I'm born in 1936.
Now, obviously, in the late 30s, Germany was still living under the rules of the Treaty of Versailles, which had a huge impact on your economy, your gross domestic product, and, well, the morale of your country. Do you remember back then how the normal German citizen felt about what the Treaty of Versailles had done to your country and to the economy and what it was like to work pretty much for nothing because all your money was being sent to France and to England. Inflation was through the roof. The Deutschmark was worth almost nothing.
Well, the biggest impact was, as you mentioned, the economy was down, which was also the reason in order for Adolf Hitler to become the leader. That has a lot to do. That was even the time where a lot of Germans immigrated in the United States as well. And what I remember, I mean, as I mentioned, I'm born in 1976. As a boy, we had we have a tough time to survive, you know. It was, the whole conversation was around food and what are we cooking tonight and tomorrow, and it was my childhood, actually.
How many siblings did you have?
I had one more brother. and he was 11 years older, and he was in World War II,
okay,
on the Russian front, and he came back heavily, heavily injured, 80%.
At this time, though, when you're still a child, what did your parents do? What was your family doing to try to make a living or to figure out a way to survive?
Well, the reason for us to survive, this was what basically grew behind the house. That was our survival. Of course, we had pigs, we had goats, we has been in a better position than the city people. The city people did not have those kind of options.
So you guys lived basically on a farm.
It's a small farm. It was not necessarily the main income. My father worked for the train,
okay,
at the time, but we still
had, you were able to supplement your food,
exactly,
by growing and,
yes,
slaughtering your own animals.
Exactly. Yes.
As the years went by, as the 30s, you know, got closer to the 40s, and 38 is when Germany invaded Poland.
Right.
As that time was building up and as Hitler was getting more and more power and things were changing, obviously you're young at that time, but do you kind of remember the stress or, you know, how people in general, the way they acted changed? Was it detectable how people were changed, how they were acting, or whether they're scared or are they excited for the promised future? Because Hitler promised a lot to people because you guys were working so hard, your money was going away,
yeah,
and he presented a scapegoat,
yeah,
he presented ideas,
yeah,
and in the early years, he presented make work jobs, such as the
right,
building of the Autobahn,
exactly,
and all these things. So
exactly,
he was promising jobs, he was starting to,
yeah,
deliver,
yeah,
superinflation hadn't happened yet,
yeah,
so you guys, people didn't realize that these jobs he was making really didn't produce financially for the country, but
right,
he was paying you guys, you know, the jobs were starting to appear.
Right. You are 100% right. What he actually promised, he did what he promised at the very beginning. That was the first time where mothers became money, when they get birth to child, to babies and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
That was new. He was the inventor, as you said, the Autobahn. Was
sure.
He was the inventor of the Beetle, Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was
Ferdinand Porsche.
Exactly. That was a family car, two adults and two children. That was his idea, and he did actually. And the people, as a matter of fact, in the 30s, where a lot of people, Germans, moved out of the country in the United States, there even some came back to Germany, because it was a time where the United States was not in best shape as well.
Yeah, we were also deep into our depression.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I can imagine if you're a German immigrant in America and there's no jobs to be had.
Exactly.
And you start,
yeah,
seeing newspaper clippings, letters from home saying, hey, things are getting better over here.
Yeah.
We're producing jobs.
Some of them moved back again to Germany.
Yeah.
They got back. Yeah, they got out of the country and they came back again. But it changed soon after, again. Hitler started on all fronts, you know. You know, there was Stalin, Mussolini,
mm-hmm,
and the English Prime Minister, and Hitler. That was the four who had, and Roosevelt of the United States,
sure,
who had those meetings. But Hitler was not the honest guy. He was a bad guy.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
And as he gained more and more power, he started creating more absurd laws.
Absolutely.
Like one of the first laws he passed was that no female Jew between the ages of 12,
yeah,
and I think 26, basically childbearing,
right,
ages,
right, right,
could work in the house,
right, yeah,
of a Gentile, if,
right,
you will.
Yeah.
And through later research after the war, some speculate, and I kind of speculate, the reason for that law.
Yeah.
Looking back at it now, it seems like a lot of the things Hitler did early on,
right,
were due to self-hatred of himself.
Right.
He strongly believed that he was a bastard child of a Jewish girl,
right,
who worked for his father.
Yeah.
And so later on, the first law he passes,
yeah,
if that same law existed,
yeah,
when he was a child,
yeah,
he would have never have been born. A lot of these things he did as he got more power,
right,
a lot of these rules basically would prevent him from ever coming to power to begin with.
Exactly, yeah. I remember as a child sitting in the stroller,
mm-hmm,
I remember this very, very vividly, sitting in the stroller, and I came, the Neckar River, Rhine River, River Neckar River. My town was on one side, and Ladenburg is over 2,000-year-old Roman town on the other side.
Okay.
And this is where a lot of Jews lived in this town, and they had their own businesses sure. as well. And I remember where the Jewish action took place, where the Nazis have gotten in the houses. That even I see still as a child see yeah. where they threw furniture out of the houses, out of third and second and third floor and stuff. You know,
when they're clearing out their apartments and
exactly
putting them in.
Well, and they put them away as
yeah,
well.
They were sending them off to
yeah.
ghettos and then later on concentration camps.
Exactly. Yeah.
Obviously, you're a young child, but you remember seeing those sort of actions. Do you remember if there are any prominent Jewish people in your town, people who had prominent positions that just vanished one day and
yeah.
people just kind of...
From one day to another, yeah. There also, I still remember neighbors, which was, I mean, it was always dangerous if people had children. And if parents or growing up people discussed something about the regime and all this kind of thing and spoke about, if they said something negative in front of children, and children that talk to each other or mention something with neighbor children, and their children mention something to their parents, they took them away.
Or their teachers.
They took them away. They were teachers, they were business people, prominent people, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it was the Gestapo, actually, who
yeah.
took them away. Yeah, yeah. I remember when my parents been talking about, and my parents never had anything to do with Hitler and this ideal and all this kind of stuff. Absolutely. Whenever I came close, they stopped talking.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, yeah. They always kept this very secretive, you know, yeah.
Well, once again, because you're a young age,
yeah,
but you're going to school, you're
yeah.
being told, hey, if
yeah.
you hear people saying these
yeah.
type of things, you
yeah.
need to report it to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they knew that as yeah. a child, you didn't understand the severity of what was going on.
See, me as a child, I had a totally different upbringing like probably children now. I was 6 years old when I got to school. I graduated when I was 14. That was the 8 years schooling at the time, through high school. And all the children, they were prepared. I learned my trade when I was 14 years old. Start with 6, and the first 4 years was ground school, the last 4 years, it depends on your grades. Then I got into a higher gymnasium, and I learned English already in those days. Strange enough.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, I know a lot through my brother because he was 11 years older. He built even an airplane.
Did he?
He built an airplane in the school. He built an airplane, and as a school child...
That's crazy.
This is crazy. yeah.
To think that a school would have the tools and the technology available to build
yeah.
to build a plane is one thing, but
right.
to have the resources
yes. yeah.
and the children smart
yeah.
enough to make it happen.
And not only the boys, also the girls. They had to learn how to knit, how to sew, how to do. They had every day at least an hour or an hour and a half like schooling in practice,
mm-hmm.
how to survive, how to do things in their later life and stuff, you know, how to learn, yeah.
As you grew older and you progressed through school, do you remember the indoctrination through the schools getting worse as far as the Fuhrer, you know, the Third Reich, your dominance over other people? Was the schools really heavy into that indoctrination, or did a lot of them try to stay away from it but do what they had to do to meet the requirements of the government?
They stayed away.
Yeah, they
stayed away. For they even had been through so much before and had been very careful. They stayed away very, very, very much. It started losing up then later where Erhard became the first leader in Germany
mm-hmm.
after that, or Adenauer, as a matter of fact. And this is where the whole thing start changing, you know. Yeah. Well, when we had gotten to school, we have to stand up. The teacher was the one who says Heil Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And the pupils, we have to say the same thing. And we even sing the song, you know, the national anthem, you know.
Sure.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles in the world, you know. This is brainwashed stuff there, you know, yeah.
Your brother was 11 years older than you.
Yeah.
And he went off to fight in the war.
Yeah.
Was he forced to join, or did he...
He was forced to join.
Yeah, because I knew most of the Weimar Republic's military was forced to join.
Yeah.
Because by the outline of the Treaty of Versailles, the army could only have, I think, 100,000 soldiers or less.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 50,000. And so, I guess they would be forced to join.
Yeah, he was in Arbeitsdienst, what the cell mentioned. That was the beginning. They have to go through very